Welcome to IT Origins, an interview series from Gestalt IT. Each Thursday, we bring you an interview from IT entrepreneurs, innovators, and engineers. Today, we have the good fortune of speaking to Ken Nalbone, a solutions architect for a Midwestern VAR and service provider. Ken, thanks for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Rich.
All right, so Ken, let's jump right into it. Can you give us your IT origin story? How long have you been in the field, and how'd you get your start?
I got my start in the IT industry about 15 years ago, October of 2003. So I'm coming right up on my 15-year anniversary. I got interested in IT and computers as a young kid, but I didn't really pursue a computer science degree initially. I was passionate about music to start out. I thought I was going to own a drum store. I went to college as a business management major, and about halfway through figured out, you know, I'm probably going to be better off making money at this computer thing. And I decided to get an information systems bachelor's degree. Following that, since I graduated from college around 2002, that was shortly after the dot-com bubble burst. And so all of a sudden, it wasn't as easy as it had been for the past several years to get a job right out of college. So I just decided to continue on. And I got a master's degree at Ball State University in Information and Communication Sciences. Having that education and the skills that I learned in that kind of enabled me to skip the line, so to speak. A lot of people will start out their career in desktop support. And I basically started out as a systems administrator. I had a few jobs, first one starting in education, followed up on that with a long tenure in financial services. And then after being on the customer side with those two jobs for about 12 or 13 years total, I worked for a bit as an engineer internally in a service provider before finally making the change and moving into pre-sales about a year and a half ago. And that's where I am today.
You know, that's interesting. The education around IT professionals kind of varies wildly. It's not at all uncommon that we found in our IT origins story to hear that there's some kind of musical background that kind of starts everything, and people start fooling around with computers because of that or just as a side project and kind of get into that. I'm interested in the perspective of someone who got their master's. Is that something you would recommend out there, or was that just a result of, you know, kind of post-dot-com boom, good timing for pursuing something like that?
I personally feel it was very valuable, and just because it was a master's doesn't mean that everybody needs to get an MBA to get a quality education. It taught me a lot of important skills that you might not necessarily get in a strictly tech degree. A lot of really good skills around, we did a lot of presentations, for example, that really helped me cultivate public speaking skills, which have served me very well in my career. We had a class, for example, on things like regulation. So if you're working in an industry that is regulated and you're subject to some sort of compliance, understanding and being mindful of that during your career will help you be more of an asset to your company. Even though you're an IT person, knowing the other parts of the business will really be beneficial. If you have the opportunity to get a master's in the field that you think will be relatable to whatever career you're pursuing, then I'm an advocate of that for sure.
Well, and to your point, I mean, now in a post-GDPR world, having a handle on compliance, I would argue, is central to a lot of IT mission out there, regardless, you know, whether you're in financial services or in medicine, just anything that touches personally identifiable data. At some point, you have to be thinking about that now, right?
Yes, absolutely. And of course, most companies will have a compliance department that will help you interpret those regulations, but then you need to go back and probably translate that into what kind of actions you need to take on the tech side, what kind of initiatives you need to have to be able to handle data the proper way as you're subject to, basically as a business. So it helps you bridge that gap between what the technology can do and what the law is requiring you to do.
So Ken, in all your time in IT, what's been the biggest change since you started your career?
When I started, everything was still hardware, doing things the manual way. And of course, we've seen multiple revolutions since then come in that abstract things further and further from the infrastructure. It started with virtualization, and then it moved up into things such as cloud services, or everything is as a service now. It's much easier to procure a server now that's virtual, or just a service, because it might just be something that's hosted in a cloud somewhere. It just means that there's a quicker turnaround in standing up an application that can then deliver what the business needs to get things done, I guess I should say.
Do you think we'll hit a period where the pendulum kind of swings the other way, where we seek less abstraction, or is that just inevitable as systems get more complex? We need ways to be able to deal with that complexity, and that inevitably leads to more abstraction.
there will probably be situations in which people want less abstraction. I know for some people, you know, if they have a huge container deployment, they think that maybe they're going to get better performance by running them on bare metal. I'm not an expert enough to say whether or not that's true, but I do know that in certain situations, people are going to prefer less abstraction. But for the most part, when you have to worry less about the nuts and bolts of things, it's probably more valuable. And I probably will not see a pendulum swing fully back towards being really deep and close to the hardware anymore. Never as close as we were probably in the late 90s and early 2000s when I got my start. It's just not as important anymore, I don't think.
So along those lines, what's the current worst trend in IT?
There's always some kind of, you know, fill in the blank, this will solve everything sort of hype cycle every few years. You know, last decade, it was outsourcing. A few years ago, it was DevOps. And now we're seeing people getting really hyped up about blockchain. All of those things, you know, they probably do have their use case. They certainly do. But it's not for everybody necessarily. I don't think everybody's going to need a distributed ledger to maintain the integrity of their transactions. You need to take a close look at what the technology does and if it's valuable for your use case.
As much as those things are overhyped, is there ever a danger of totally putting on your blinders to those kind of trends and technologies because they seem like they're just pure marketing? So, you know, there may be very legitimate uses for machine learning, artificial intelligence that people are just not paying attention to because they think it's all marketing bluster.
I think there are absolutely use cases for those sorts of things. I think it's incumbent upon us as technology professionals to be mindful of the trends in the marketplace, to know about them, even if we're not necessarily determined to apply them. That way, when somebody comes and asks us about them, and if there's a use case, we can speak intelligently about them and make that determination together with the business stakeholders, whether or not AI or machine learning or blockchain has a use for us as a business.
All right, and turning around the other way, what's the current best trend in IT?
I think it's great that there is basically an emphasis on learning to code regardless of your discipline within IT. I took a few programming classes in college. Having that base knowledge has served me well over the years. My skills have languished a bit because as a longtime system administrator, you know, it wasn't something that it was a primary focus of mine. And if I had kept it up, I probably would be in a much better position today. And I'm basically having to ramp up on those kinds of things again. But it basically helps people get their job done more quickly and more effectively and with less errors, basically. The more that you can automate, the more you can code things that are repetitive. So I'm really excited about that trend in the industry.
Is it more important just to know the principles of it so that you have a base knowledge of programming, of coding, what have you, and less a specific language? Or is there a particular language that you would recommend, you know, someone starting out in IT to maybe familiarize themselves with?
I would say that, you know, if you're listening to this when it comes out and you're like me, a systems administrator, or I'm a former systems administrator, but that's where your discipline is. Things like PowerShell and Python are very powerful and very useful. But I would say that the principles are more important because there's always going to be something else on the horizon that is more applicable for its day and time. As long as you have the principles of programming and coding down, you'll be able to pick those up along the way and adapt.
All right, Ken, and where do you see your field going in the next 3 to 5 years?
We're definitely seeing a pendulum swing away from the data center into the cloud. I think those skills are pertinent, very important for people to pick up. We may see a pendulum swing back the other direction at some point in the future, but it doesn't mean that if you cultivate those skills, they will be useless. It's helpful to have knowledge of both the infrastructure that you're going to architect in your data center and also how to architect applications themselves when you're running something in the public cloud and you have no control or little control over the infrastructure that underlies it.
So, Ken, any book recommendations for IT practitioners out there?
I'm a fan of the IT Architect series of books. They are primarily meant, I believe, for folks who are pursuing a VCDX certification, but they really serve as a great overall guide to holistic infrastructure design.
Excellent. And we'll have links for those in the show notes if you want to check those out and learn more about those. All right, Ken, first computer you owned?
The first computer that we had in my home, my dad brought home. He had purchased a Quanta 486 PC running Windows 3.1. I don't know if anybody remembers Quantex. They went out of business in the early 2000s, but they made some quote-unquote high-end computers for the early to mid-1990s at least. The first computer I built myself was when I was leaving high school. I saved up some cash and I wanted something for my dorm room, and I built a Pentium 2 PC on Intel's 440BX chipset. That was the big high performer back in the late 90s. It served me well for many years.
Was that the P2 with the cards, or was that a socket situation? Oh,
it was a slot processor for sure. Wow. Slot 1, I think they called it, and I think AMD imitated them and had something called Slot A around that time.
Were there any LAN parties involved in high school, college there?
Absolutely, especially in college. The dorms that I lived in during my college days, they had recently been networked up. So my friends and I figured out how to get Red Alert 2 and the Unreal Tournament series of games, and we would play those nonstop during finals week instead of studying. So, maybe I didn't have the highest GPA, but I made it through just fine, and I had some good memories along the way too.
And you set up a lot of Tesla coils, I'm sure, at some point. That was like the first remote game I had ever played as well, so that's kind of funny.
Yes, and we had to get IPX running to get to work on that LAN for whatever reason. So, I'm dual protocol now.
All right, Kenneth, what are you doing when you're not playing Red Alert 2 and working in IT?
I really like to try and stay fit. It's harder now that I'm a father, but I run regularly and lift weights regularly as well. It's not all health for me, though. I kind of bounce that out by drinking the occasional bourbon and smoking the occasional cigar. And I love the NFL. I love the Colts in particular. I try to get to at least one Indianapolis Colts game per season, if not more.
All right, Ken, and how do you caffeine if you do?
I always have a couple cups of black coffee in the morning. Black because at some point in my early 20s when I was on my own, I got lazy and stopped buying sugar and cream, and I realized that I didn't mind black at all. And I also usually need a diet soda at lunchtime to get me through the day, but that's it. No more caffeine throughout the day or I'll be up all night. Some mornings, if I'm doing my exercise and I'm being disciplined, I'll replace one of those cups of coffee with a pre-workout drink. But that's about it.
Any special prep, or are we just talking to the standard drip coffee maker? Do we French press it?
No, I'm not that fancy, though. I do prefer to get some whole beans, and I grind them, but I do that the night before. I know you're supposed to grind them right before you brew for the best flavor, but like I said, I'm a little bit lazy and more interested in efficiency, so I'll grind them, put them in the filter and some water in the coffee maker the night before and set the timer so it's ready when I wake up so I can get my caffeine right away.
That's the great thing about coffee, is that no matter how much you get into it, at some point you're still doing it wrong, according to someone else.
That's true.
It's really,
I've heard about this. Yes. So I've just accepted with coffee and many other things in my personal and professional life that I'm probably wrong, and just let somebody who knows more than it talk about it to me.
And Ken, who would you like to see sit down for the IT Origins questions?
I think we should tag Joe Hughes for that one. He's out of Austin, Texas, really smart, sharp guy. I'd like to hear his story.
And you two were just out at VMworld, correct?
We were, yeah. I think we were in one of the Tech Field Day videos together. I met him the year previous at the VMworld before that, and we've seen each other a handful of times throughout the year at different events.
Just kind of a quick aside, I'm always curious of people's perspective on that. Is a big show like VMworld or, something like Cisco Live, are those still as vibrant and as relevant as they are? I always hear people making fantastic networking connections, but from a skill perspective, are those just as vibrant and necessary as they've always been?
VMworld has totally turned into a networking event for me. There are a lot of skill building opportunities there, but thankfully they're all recorded. So I watched those sessions the week after. I watched more VMworld sessions this week than I did actually in Vegas.
And we will get you out on this, Ken. Any career advice you'd like to pass on to our listeners?
Absolutely. In my experience, career growth will come most frequently when you challenge yourself and go outside of your comfort zone. So the moment you get comfortable in your job is the moment you either start looking for new things in that job or start looking for something new.
Well, thank you, Ken. This has been a great interview, and you can find more of these IT Origins interviews at gestaltit.com. We'll be back next Thursday with another interview. Take care, everybody.